Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven.
So this is a part in our service where I just spent about 20 minutes thinking through what God's word is saying to us today. So as we do that, let us first pray. Father, we do pray that as we read your word, as we read these words that Jesus said to his disciples then and to us today, please may we understand them, and then please may you change us through them. And please may we respond to what you say. May we not be unchanged by your word this morning. May you make our hearts open to hear from you. Amen. This year at St. Patrick's, we're doing something called Name Him. And Name Him is sort of strapline is, it is a year of growing in confidence in naming Jesus in a natural way. And when you know Jesus, he is so amazing. And in fact, he's more amazing than anything else. But this strange thing happens for many followers of Jesus. It is that, if you don't need to know me very long before I start talking about rugby, or I start talking about a film I love, or something like that. It very naturally comes out, my love for something comes out in my words. I'll tell you about my children and my wife. I'll even tell you about my mother. And she's just over there, and a very, very positive relationship with mother. Why did I say that? Anyway, but funnily enough, often for us as followers of Jesus, when it comes to Jesus, he matters more to us than any of those things, and yet something holds us back from telling others about him. Something keeps down and suppressed that excitement. So Name Him is about opening out and finding confidence in naming Jesus in a natural way. But here's the thing, there is a reason why I find, personally, Name Him a difficult idea. The idea of naming Jesus, not just in church now, that's relatively easy, but outside in my friends, my families, my sort of pastimes. For many of you, it includes your career, your neighbourhoods. Why is that? Well, I grew up here at St. Patrick's. I was 1 year old when we first came here. I left here when I was just turning 13. And we went north of the river, and I went to a new school at the age of 13. And it was after about a couple of months at the new school that the bullying started. It was never physical bullying. It was always verbal. But I was made to feel like nothing. To feel totally isolated. To feel bereft of any hope to get by at school. I used to dread going to school. I used to, during break times, try and find an empty classroom. And the thing about that is bullying in that way has a long-lasting impact. It leads to a great sense of isolation. It leads to a great fear of rejection. And it's a deep desire not to draw negative attention to myself. It leaves scars. What I would say is that the wonderful thing about knowing Jesus has been that he has taken those scars, and many of them he has brought good out of them. I'm a better vicar today. I'm a better husband, a better father, a better friend, a better son, a better brother, because of what Jesus has done with those scars. And yet, there is still damage because of that. The bullying stopped, mainly because I joined the first 15 rugby team. but the scars remained. And I tell you this bullying story not to get your sympathy, but that you would understand that the idea of naming Jesus in a culture where that will feel odd is not something I find easy. I'm not saying to you, do this thing that I find easy and you've got to do it. It is, I want to do this just as I think we all want to do it if we're a follower of Jesus. As always, as a preacher, I am merely a beggar telling other beggars where to find food, a damaged person telling other damaged people where to find healing, a sinner telling other sinners where forgiveness is to be found, and a coward telling other cowards where to find courage. So in light of that, how do we deal with this challenge of name him? And in particular, the challenge of two verses from our reading. These two verses in verses 32 and 33, this is Jesus speaking to us, and he says this, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven," that's God, "but whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven." Let me say that again. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Here's my question for you. Just think about this. Try and think how you'd answer it if you were going to answer it out loud. What do you think that passage means? What do you think it means? Whoever acknowledges me, this is Jesus speaking, before others, I will acknowledge before God, my Father. Whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. What do you think it means? Well, I'm guessing you're right. Because it's really obvious, isn't it? It's really straightforward. It's very stark. It is that if we want to be acknowledged by Jesus before God, and therefore know God and have access to him eternally and not face judgment, we need to acknowledge him now. And if we don't, we won't. But I'm going to try and help us to come to terms with this so that we'll not only understand it, but that we'll be able to respond to it. But before we look at that, I just want to point out the hope in that passage today. This passage says that Jesus might acknowledge you before God. When you one day face God, Jesus might acknowledge you. And that is a wonderful hope. It says that if Jesus counts you as one of his, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks about you. That's comfort to a bullied boy. If Jesus welcomes you, then God welcomes you. You might face many frightening situations, but you need never despair or feel alone because he is with you. That was my experience, so I was bullied. A deep sense that Jesus was there with me when no one else was. And here's the final thing. Naming Jesus will bring you closer to the living God. You will experience greater intimacy. But there is a challenge in this passage. And like most challenges, we want to wriggle. I remember when my doctor told me that I was grossly obese. And immediately I started wriggling. I felt like saying, well, let's go outside and see who wins in a fight, shall we? or you're not in the best of health yourself, Mr. Doctor. Or I want to say, no, you know, these are BMIs. They're not good analysis. I've got a lot of hidden muscle underneath this thin layer of wobbling fat. We want to wriggle when we're challenged, don't we? So the first wriggle, when I look at this passage, I think, well, okay, can I just not do the second part? Right, the second part I think I can handle. It says, whoever disowns me before others, Jesus says, I will disown before my Father in heaven. I think I can handle that. I'll make sure I don't disown Jesus. If anyone ever asks me, I'll say, yes, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. Because actually that feels manageable. That's like not doing a negative, if you get my meaning. But here it says also acknowledge. And that's a positive action. That's taking initiative. And we know that it isn't just one word, because Jesus says earlier, what I tell you in the dark, that means what you learn at church, what you learn from your private time in the Bible, God's word, or maybe Jesus speaks to you through prayer. He says, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ears, proclaim from your roofs. Admittedly, in the first century of Israel, roofs were flat. It's going to be really hard for us to do it with our pitched roofs, but you get the idea. Don't keep it in. Acknowledge Jesus. So no, it isn't enough not to simply not disown Jesus. Secondly, can I just talk about church and God in a vague way? Well, actually, talking about church, going to church, talking about being a Christian, talking about God are good things. We saw that a couple of weeks ago. But that isn't what Jesus says. He says, whoever acknowledges me. Not even that whoever acknowledges being a Christian or believing in God or going to church, but whoever acknowledges me, Jesus says. But the final wriggle, I think, is this. Isn't Jesus just being unreasonable? Isn't that what it is? Well, I want to suggest that three different levels, the answer is no. Here's the simplest. We have a choice. You and I have a choice. Whether or not you're here as someone who follows Jesus, or whether you say, actually, I'm not a follower of Jesus, we all have the same choice. We either have the choice to accept who he is, or to reject who he is. We might reject him as we think, oh, well, he was just an irrelevant character from the first century. You might even say you just don't believe he existed, although really, historically, that's really hard to believe that he didn't exist. But you could just say, okay, I just don't get Jesus. I just don't believe in Jesus. Or we can say, yes, we do accept Jesus. But what we can't do is say, I accept Jesus, I follow Jesus, but I'm going to reject his words. So however you feel about what Jesus says, if you are going to follow Jesus, if you want everything that following Jesus means, you can't then say, but I'm going to ignore what he says. But then there is another way we could look at this. And that is to say this, if we don't acknowledge Jesus, if we never acknowledge Jesus, I'm not here talking about the fact that we find it difficult and that sometimes we miss opportunities or things like that, but if we never acknowledge Jesus, what we're demonstrating is that we never truly chose to follow him. Let me give you an example. I could tell you that I'm following the Weight Watchers diet plan, and you might be impressed. Well, you might not. But if after several weeks later, you notice that I've actually put on weight, and then you say, oh, I've got a quick question, David. Let's go to the vestry and check him out. And when you see me there, you see me scoffing the last of five Sainsbury's donuts, which are fantastic, into my mouth. You're going to say, well, you might say that you're following the Weight Watchers diet, but you're not actually following it, are you? There's nothing in your life that suggests that claim is real. I might even think I am. I might even feel great loyalty to the Weight Watchers diet plan. I may even go to the Weight Watchers classes. I may even be on the Weight Watchers WhatsApp group. I may even be doing, I wouldn't do Weight Watchers Instagram if it's going that badly. But you know the point. I may firmly believe I'm following Weight Watchers, but I'm not. So it is with Jesus. If we claim to follow him, but then do not acknowledge him, we're kidding ourselves, but we're not kidding him. The final way of understanding this, perhaps the deepest way, is this, and that is to understand who Jesus is and what he's come to do. See, Jesus shows us that you and I have rejected God. We might believe in him vaguely, but what we've said is, we don't want him to be in charge of our lives. I want to be in charge. That's why we are damaged people and we cause damage. Because we've turned in on ourselves. The reason we struggle to have relationships with one another is because at our heart we want what's best for me. And this has led to all the damage we see and we experience. And it breaks God's heart. It breaks the Father's heart. He sees the impact of our rejection of him on our relationships with each other? Here's an interesting question. If you ask the question, are you a good person? What would your answer be? Now let me consider this. Let's say I say I'm a good person. How is it then that I hurt other people? But let's not stop at that. The thing which really I find hard about myself is how is it that I even hurt the people I love? How can I consider myself good if I even get to the stage of hurting people I love? That's how wrong we've got. And it breaks God's heart to see the damage we cause, the impact on each other, but also the impact on our environment right now. We see that writ large. Our desire for more and more and more to feed the hunger that never goes away, the hunger that was meant to be satisfied in God, means that we are ripping the heart out of our environment. But most of all, it separates us from Him. He is holy and good like we desperately want. He cannot allow us to carry on being mini tornadoes of destruction. So the Father's heart is broken, but what does He do? He gives us another chance, our only hope. He comes Himself. God the Son comes to save you and to save me. To make it possible for our wrongdoing to be forgiven. And He does this by offering us the chance to be bound to Him, to become united with Him, to become His. When we do, He takes my wrong, your wrong, if you choose to be bound to Him. He takes what the Bible calls your sin, your being turned in on yourself, and He deals with it on the cross. He takes the punishment Himself, and He deals with the sin. He didn't need to do that. These are the lengths He went to in order to give us the only chance we could ever have. But here's the thing. He never forces Himself on us. If we say we don't want that only chance, He says, okay, that's your choice. So now when we approach God, if we have bound ourselves to Jesus, if we said, Jesus, yes, I want to follow you, God asks Jesus, His Son, He says this, is David one of yours? Is Margaret one of yours? Is Anna one of yours? What sign will there be that we are, that we've chosen to belong to Jesus? Well, it will be one of the signs the Bible gives us is this, that we will have acknowledged Him and not denied Him. You see, the answer to is it unreasonable for Jesus not to acknowledge us, to disown us before the Father? The answer is not unreasonable for Jesus the Son to disown us if we haven't acknowledged Him. No, what is unreasonable is for us to think that He should when He's done all of that. That's why name Him really counts. It really counts, actually, even if you're a visitor today. It really counts because it reminds us that we have two paths to choose. We can either, in our verses, we can either acknowledge Jesus or disown Him. But then when I read this, when I was thinking about this, and God was challenging me through this passage, I thought, but God, is it too late for me? I've disowned Jesus. I've failed to acknowledge Him in the past. Is that it? The answer is no. The answer is no, because one of the people Jesus was speaking to here, a bloke called Peter, goes on to deny Jesus. Like at the crucial moment when he's about to be executed and Jesus welcomes him back. In 1 John 1, John, another one of the disciples, says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the Christ, the righteous. Now what that basically means is we can be forgiven. You see, here is what we call the Christian sorry, right? Not the children's sorry. You know the children's sorry, child's sorry, which is sorry, which really means I don't want to get into trouble, but I'm probably going to do it again. You know that one? This is the Christian sorry. It's the ABCD of sorry. A, admit to God that we've done wrong, that we've not acknowledged Jesus, that we've disowned Him. B, believe that there is forgiveness because of Jesus. Even though we've hurt him, even though we have gone against him, there is forgiveness because of him. C, if it's A, admit, B, believe, C, commit to changing, to starting to follow Jesus, to acknowledge him and to own him. And then D, depend on God, the Father, to help us change. So what does Jesus mean if it isn't like one strike and you're out? Well, let's go back to the image of the two paths. First, there's the, imagine you're going through life and we're all on a path from birth. And then suddenly we see that there's another path. And that path is the path of knowing Jesus and following him. And maybe we decide we're going to go down that path. Because down that path is to know God and to have eternal life. The death will not be the end. That there will be joy, happiness, everlasting. We say, we're going to go down that path. And down that path, there'll be ups and downs. And at times, we'll wander off the path because we get distracted by something interesting over there or appears interesting. We get into tangled up in the thorns and the mire and everything else. But we think, oh, I just need to get back on the path. So we go back on the path. Sometimes we find ourselves further back along the path, but then we carry on down that path. And as we go down that path, there'll be more times that we acknowledge Jesus and own him. And then there's the other path, the path of not knowing Jesus. And there are two sorts of people on this path. There are those who say, yeah, I don't follow Jesus. That's my choice. Decide not to go down that path. We go down this path. I'm just going to hope it works out in a nice destination. And then there are other people who think they're on the path of following Jesus. My dad took one of my sisters on a walk up a mountain. I'd done the walk a little bit earlier, Skua Alastair in the Isle of Skye. And I told them it was amazing, this amazing scree run and everything else. So they decided to climb this mountain. And the thing was that as they went along the path they were following, they noticed that more and more they couldn't see the things on the map relating to the things around them. They weren't very good scouts. And they noticed that at one point they even said, hang on, there should be a little lake down there, but it's not there. In fact, they actually thought it might have dried up, which is understandable in the Nevada desert. It's really not understandable in Scotland. And so eventually they came to realize there were in fact no signs that they were on the right path. And they realized they weren't. And they had to retrace and go back onto the right path. If we've never acknowledged Jesus, if in fact we just avoid the whole thing, after a while we have to ask ourselves the question, are we even on the path of following him? So what should we do? What should we do if maybe we're on the path of following Jesus, but we got diverted? Or we thought we were following Jesus, but we now realize we're not? Or we never followed Jesus, but now we think, do you know what? I really do want to follow him. I recognize that my life is not what it should be or what it could be. And I want the assurance of an eternal hope. What do? Well, it turns out we do the same thing, whoever we are. We do the ABCD. If you're here today and you're saying, I've not acknowledged Jesus, I should have done. Or I thought I was a Christian, but now I'm starting to wonder. Or I've never decided to follow Jesus, but I want to now. Do the ABCD. Admit to God that you've gone wrong. Believe that there is forgiveness because of Jesus. Commit to changing your life. But then depend on God, D, to be able to do that. Admit, A. B, believe. C, commit. D, depend. And then that means a life of following him and acknowledging him. And some of you will find it easy. The rest of us don't. But be reminded of the good news we started with at the beginning. When you or I acknowledge Jesus, when we speak of him out beyond here, it will be amazing. We might even be rejected, but it will be amazing because in that moment we will experience such assurance that we belong to Jesus. And that we have access to the living God, the Lord of heaven and earth. If you're frightened where you are, You will be encouraged if you name Jesus. Because naming him means acknowledging him. And acknowledging him brings with it the assurance that we are acknowledged by him. Let's pray. As a prayer, I'm going to go through that ABCD. And you might want to join in your heads. And just say amen at the end. Because you might be in one of those three positions. I reckon you pretty much probably are. Like me, you might be on the path, but you've drifted off it time and again. Or you might not be on the path for following Jesus at all, and you thought you were, but you want to now go down that path. Or you might never have done so. Here's your chance to start the walk on that path. Let me pray. Jesus, I admit that I've not been acknowledging you. I've not even always followed you. Maybe for some of us here, we've never followed you, Lord. We admit that we've done wrong. Jesus, we believe that there is forgiveness in you, that the slate can be wiped clean. We can have a fresh start. We can be a new creation, as the Bible says, like a whole new start. And we thank you for that. We commit now to following you more faithfully, or following you for the first time. But Lord, we cannot do that in our own strength, and so we depend on you. We ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might follow Jesus faithfully. Amen.